with Justin Delandy from Lending For You for Home Run Finance, but we've pushed it back a day because we need to squeeze a little bit more in. Good afternoon to you, Justin.
G'day, Lee. How are you?
Well, thank you. You've got some census data for us showing that homes across Australia with mortgages have doubled in the last, 20, 30 years?
Yep, apparently. we're getting a lot of the census data come out now, and it's telling us that homes with mortgages have doubled since 1996, and that's not surprising given the price of properties have probably tripled. So out of Australia's 9.8 million homes, just under a third are owned outright, while more than a third are owned with a mortgage, so that 2021 census has found. It also showed that while most Australians live in a family situation, nearly 900,000 live together in a group, while 2.5 million people across the country live alone. And data's also revealed that a large majority of homes are detached homes, so basically houses on a block, while 3.2 million dwellings have four bedrooms or more, so pretty big houses there. So there's been no significant change in the number of homes either owned either outright or with a mortgage. However, the share of homes which are owned with a mortgage rather than outright has been growing over that period of time. And that, you know, as I said, it makes sense because property prices have increased substantially. There's a lot of people renting as well, and a concern for people that are in public housing. There's been a decrease of more than 25,000 public housing spots across the country. So what that tells us is that governments aren't providing enough public housing to keep up with population growth.
Another thing we already know.
Yeah, and, you know, we're seeing at the moment, you've got people couch surfing, sleeping in their cars, skipping meals to pay rent. You know, it's pretty tough out there, and the COVID pandemic has made it that way. So obviously this census was done over that period in 2021. And interestingly enough, it's also told us some 7 million people rent in Australia. And nearly a million people have a weekly salary of $2,000 up to $3,000. I'd like to be earning that, Lee.
That's a few too many zeros there.
Yeah, I reckon that.
I'm sure somebody would come and scoop it off you if that was the case anyway. Let's rise the rates or something like that, or put petrol up.
Yeah, well, I think that figure tends to tell me that it's a fair bit associated with Sydney.
Yeah, very Sydney-centric. A lot of these figures are.
They are.
Righto, Westpac have got a grim warning for us this week.
Yes, they've revised their expectation for Australia's interest rate over the coming months, suggesting we're going to have some more hip pocket pain for our already struggling mortgage holders. So this revised forecast comes following, obviously, we had that record rate low of 0.1% to help the country cope during COVID. That's now lifted, now sits at 0.85%. Westpac had a previous forecast of a high of 2.37. Their chief economist, Bill Evans, now expects that interest rate to hit at least 2.6%. We also had the Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, earlier this month, said the rate could potentially reach around 2.5%. He sort of came out and said that, you know, the resilience of the economy, the higher inflation rate means that, you know, the extraordinary support that we had of that low interest rate is no longer needed. They're expecting to take further steps in the process of normalising monetary conditions in Australia over the months ahead. That sounds to me like, look out, we're going to cop it.
Great news, as always. Yeah, actually, if you're a ratepayer in the Burnie municipality right now, how'd you be feeling?
Yeah, well, not great.
You'd be a little bit miffed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, look, it's, you know, I suppose, you know, inflationary pressures cause pressures right across the board, and that's what we're seeing. You know, effective fuel has caused a dramatic impact on the cost of transporting everything. So we've seen it. Food, everything has increased. And, of course, this is not something that is unique to Australia. It's a global issue. And that we're seeing some substantial interest rate increases occur in the US and also the UK. So I suppose the shining light is that a lot of these economists are saying that, yes, we're going to continue to have increases in our interest rates heading right into early 2023, but then they believe they'll come off a little bit. So there might be that shining light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay. How's the dollar looking this week?
Yeah, not doing too much. Sort of eased from a one-week high after failing to benefit from, you know, obviously positive news. Our biggest trading partner is China. They've been, you know, we've seen, I don't know, we've seen a lot of people on the news, they've been pretty much in lockdowns for periods of time to try and slash their COVID numbers. And also China's basically slashed COVID quarantine for international travellers so they can get back to China. So our dollar sort of, we thought it would have jumped up a little bit, given that a major trading partner fell back below 70 cents, 69.5. It's, you know, fairly close to that, up and down. The studies sort of remain that there's a bit of a negative outlook for the dollar, and they reckon the key supports are around 68.5 cents. And it's expected to remain well below that psychological 70 cent barrier. So not too much positive news in terms of the dollar if somebody wants to go to the US for a holiday.
Right, very good. Okay, mate, thank you for that little snapshot. The Week in Finance, Justin Delandy from Leading For You. Cheers for your time this Arvo.
Thanks, Lee. Talk soon.